Well, good morning. Obviously, I am not Darren, right, if that's not been completely apparent to you. He will be back next week. I'm so looking forward to it. We've really missed having him around. We usually have staff meetings, and so we haven't had any staff meetings for the last couple of weeks. And it's just a really good time for us as leaders to be able to connect and just really talk about what's happening and be able to pray for people. Because I notice things that he doesn't always notice, and he knows a lot of things that I don't always notice, and so I'm really missing that. But wow, last week, Tyler, right? Any of you who got to see Tyler here, and if you didn't get to see him, watch it on the video or listen to it on the podcast. So Tyler's message actually was like really, really cool, because once I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, he's like almost perfectly setting up for what I'm going to be talking about. So, burpees. Everyone up? No. I'm not doing that. But I was like, he was so graceful. He had perfect form. And he kept this thing on. I was super impressed. I'm like, oh my gosh, Tyler. I was impressed with him before, but now I'm even more impressed with him. But his message was about the vertical relationship and also the horizontal relationships. And that actually has been something that I've been wanting to just share with all of you probably for about a year now. And it's been something that I've been talking with my kids about an awful lot. And so it's something that kind of has been bubbling, but there hasn't been opportunity because, like I said, most of the time I'm downstairs. So for some of you, it's like, yes, I am the children's pastor. I've been here since, 2015? So and I'm still here. yay! So I was just looking at this message and going, and it's been, like I said, bubbling for about a year now. So I'm super, super happy and excited to be able to share it. One of the things that I look at about speaking, I mean, I'd almost rather just sit on the floor with you guys, like how we do downstairs in children's ministry. But I know for some of us, it might be harder to get up. So we won't do that. But it's really just sharing. I love Brennan Manning. And one of my favorite quotes of his is that I'm just a beggar showing another beggar where the breadline is. And that's all this is for me. It's just something that I'm learning that's really been beneficial for my life that I just want to share with all of you. Another thing that I really wanted to share this morning before we start is I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that our church family is such that Darren and Stacy can go and just take care of themselves, take care of family, and they don't have to worry about what's going on here. Darren doesn't have to keep flying back because, oh, I've got to make sure that the church is okay. Him being able to just release and know that we're all taking care of each other. Each one of us is doing all the different things that we normally do and doing the things that he normally does, you know, within this church, that we're all doing it. And we're all doing it, I would say, seamlessly. We're just continuously being the body and being united, you know, and having unity here, so that they can go and just take care of themselves. Because, I mean, that doesn't happen in every single church. And I'm just so thankful for all of you. I'm just so thankful that we're able to do this and give this as a gift so they can take care and then come back when they're ready to be able to, you know, yet again serve the body. So I just want to say thank you first for that and acknowledge, because I think that's an important thing to do. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you continue just to watch over the Houselers and bless them, Lord. The entire family, Lord, that you would just continue to deposit your comfort, your peace, your love, your joy into them. I pray for this morning, Lord, that your words would come out of my mouth, Lord, that this is whatever it is that you want me to say, Lord, that that's what I'm saying. I pray, Lord, that you would give us all eyes to see and ears to hear all that you want to deposit. We just thank you, Lord, that you go before us, you go behind us, you go beside us. Nothing happens in any day that you are not completely aware of, and we're never alone. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this time and just help us, Lord, just to be able to hear what it is that you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So vertical alignment. Tyler talked about vertical relationship and horizontal relationships and how and why that is an important thing to have. And what I wanted to talk about was the vertical alignment, because it's a vertical relationship between us and God. And that relationship extends then out to our families and to our friends. But this is primary. And one of the things that I've done in my life a lot for the last few years, I would say, is I do a thing called, it's called the prayer of examine. But I totally didn't realize that. When I first did the prayer of examine for the first time, it was completely a God-led thing. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit. Like, you don't have to be a super book-savvy person, listening to every podcast, all of that. God will, if you will open yourself up, God will deposit things through the Holy Spirit into you and lead you to do things if you can just, instead of your hands being tight like this, if you can just open them up and receive what it is that he wants you to give. Because he does go before us, and he knows, the Holy Spirit knows every single detail of every part of your life, and he knows what you need. And if we can just have our hands open like this and to be able to receive it, he will deposit those very things that we need inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, and just help us and lead us in that pathway. And so my first time of, I called it personal inventory time with God. I did not realize it was the prayer of examine, but I called it personal inventory time with God. And it just, of course, so happened that Gary and I had an argument. That's my husband back there. And, you know, isn't it amazing how God works in times like that where you're just, like, not even ready for him, right? You're like, But it was a decent argument, and I was just so frustrated. I was, like, so decent that I was just like, okay, I need a break. And so I went into my bedroom, and I closed the door firmly. And then, and I think I even might have locked it just because I was like, I don't want to be bothered. And then I just started like, but I felt like the Lord was like, okay, you probably should be praying right now. You probably should be praying. And you know, sometimes you're like, yeah, I don't really want to pray right now. I just don't want to pray. But the Lord was like, he's so good. He's like, you know what? Like this, you really need to be praying right now. And so I started praying. And of course, you know, if you think about, you know, what am I going to be praying about? Lord, you need to fix my husband. What is wrong? Like, what's his deal? What's, you know, like, what's going on there? And, you know, God is so good, isn't he? Because he's just like, okay, boy, what about you? Where are you at? Like, how are you doing? And I was just kind of like, well, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's not me. But God is, he's a gentleman always, right? We know he's not going to force anything. He's like, okay, you're good? And I was like, well. And then he kind of just took me into this time of just, in a nanosecond, he kind of showed me like a little quick slideshow of the day. And then I started to press into it a little bit, like, okay, yeah, well, I was kind of short with the kids over here, and I kind of did this, and I had some unkind words. And then I started looking at, like, how much time had I really spent with the Lord that morning? And I really hadn't spent any time with the Lord that morning. And that was kind of the, oh, I see. So the personal inventory piece of it was, I haven't really spent any time with God. So, and it's evidenced by how I'm reacting and how I'm interacting with my husband and my kids. And so that moment, that time of learning how to do a personal inventory, it was fantastic because it just helped me to realize, like, okay, I have to get myself really centered and I have to continue to maintain this unity, because when I have unity with God, when I'm vertically aligned with him, then all these relationships over here, they actually are working pretty well. Now, that doesn't mean that I, you know, it's like a puppet. Now, all of a sudden, like, my husband will behave. My kids are going to be amazing. No, it doesn't mean that. But it just means, for me, what I've noticed is that when I'm vertically aligned with the Lord, then I notice, oh, this person is off a little bit here, you know. I most often always will realize when I'm off, oh, I need to, Lord, it's your will. What do you want? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? So when I'm aligned with him, then I maintain this unity, and then all of this over here doesn't seem to bother me quite as much. So if someone's having an attitude, I'm just kind of like, oh, something is going awry over here, like something is going wrong. Or, oh, this person's really being short, you know? Oh, gosh, like, but what I'm doing is I'm actually, like, I'm praying for them. I look at this, and it helps me to notice the times in people's lives when they might need a little more prayer, when they might need my attention just a little tiny bit more. Because when I'm not vertically aligned with the Lord, what am I doing? When this happens, when someone is saying something short, I, boom, will respond and like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Which neither extends the kingdom, nor is it very loving. Or over here, you know, if someone else is really sad and I'm interpreting this the wrong way because I'm not vertically aligned. I don't respond in the way that God wants me to respond. And so vertical alignment is super important because we cannot affect the kingdom. We can't, you know, if we're not loving God in complete alignment here like this, we can't really love God, or we can't love his people, and we really cannot extend the kingdom. We're not going to be used fully for all of his purposes if we're not maintaining alignment, because we miss so many things. I mean, the world is full of distractions, right? Like, I mean, there's so many things, so many shiny things, especially nowadays, like with social media, you know. I mean, we have our jobs, there's like work to do in the yard. There's so many things that are calling for our attention. We've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do this. That sometimes this then gets put to the side. We forget to have time with God and to make sure that we're maintaining our alignment. And I have just found, like, over the years that this has to be primary. Before I go and, like, mow the lawn or whatever or any of these types of things, I have to make sure that this is good. Because if I'm not maintaining my relationship with God, maintaining, like, constantly moving instead of my will, it's his will. I will tell you what I want to say to people. I want to say this. Mm-mm. What do you want me to say? Because there are lots of times when, you know, as long as you're maintained, like when I think you've all probably had this, when you've been in the Holy Spirit zone, like when you're in the zone, you're fully connected and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I need to move and I need to do this. And you feel the peace that comes from that and the boldness of like, you've made the move that God has told you to do, or you've said the things that God has told you to say. And it just works, and it just works. It's like, I love being in the Holy Spirit zone, like when I can really just feel it, where I'm like, okay, I'm perfectly, like, aligned. Now it doesn't stay that way, okay? That's the deal breaker. I know, just kidding. But it's a constant having to remind yourself to go back into alignment, because I don't want to miss anything. Like, at the end of my life, when I stand before the Lord, and he's showing me all the different things, like, all the different opportunities, I want to be able to have hit many of them, not for the sake of like hitting targets, but just because I want the well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be able to have just taken advantage of every opportunity that God has given me and done what he has asked me to do. And vertical alignment is the way that for me in my life, I'm able to sustain that and not have interactions that really don't benefit the kingdom, especially when non-believers are watching. I mean, they're always watching the way that we interact with each other. And so it's like making sure that we're fully aligned with the Lord is super, super important because it is. It's a witness. Because before we have jobs that we go out to, I mean, your primary function here is to be a mini Christ, right? A mini version of Jesus to every person that we meet in jobs, in the grocery store, you know, at a stoplight, when people are not moving. It's that too. It all counts. I'm convinced that it all counts, you know. So one of the things that I wanted to read to you is Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is, for me, it's something that, like, when I read Psalm 139, it just reminds me, because the prayer of examine is almost more like an attitude. It's a change in attitude, not necessarily like a, oh, I do this, 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 and this. It's about changing your attitude in your relationship with God. And so I wanted to read Psalm 139 to you. Let's see. If you're comfortable, if you want to close your eyes, I will read it to you. If you're not comfortable, you don't have to close your eyes. But I just kind of want to have you, like, just kind of listen to this, because I listen to Daily Audio Bible every day, and I have loved listening to the word being read to me. And Psalm 139 is one of those psalms that is just, it's just an amazing psalm. Okay, so Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay. So, if you noticed, I left in, there's a little part in there, that whole, like, if only you, God, would slay the wicked. I mean, it really goes, he really kind of goes off. So this is David, someone's favorite person in the Bible. Lynn, I'm talking to you. We just talked about David yesterday. And so David writes this psalm. It's really wonderful. I mean, he's really pushing in and realizing that God sees every part of him, right? And David was a man after God's own heart. We all know David. We're like, oh my gosh, like he's amazing. Well, not everybody thinks he's amazing. But David is a person who you can see is vertically aligned, right? Even when he starts to go off, you know, if only you would slay the wicked. If only you would do this. I hate people who hate you. Da, da, da. He goes, and it's righteous. It's righteous anger. It's righteous, you know, these feelings that he has. But as he starts to go off a little bit, he course corrects. Because he catches himself getting into this off space. And he relies back on God, saying, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is a huge part of the prayer of examine. Allowing for God to, for yourself, you open yourself up to God and allow for him to do a full inventory of what's happening inside of you. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force it. God is the ultimate gentleman. I'm always impressed because God, who has all the power in the world, I mean, he can just like, boom, and see all of your stuff, right? The wonderful things that you show everybody else, but also the nasty, yucky stuff that we try to only reserve really for our families, right? Because our families are the one, that's where we're real. I mean, if I was like mean to you, you'd be like, okay, I'm done with you, Sheila. Like, I don't have to spend time with you. Our families, though, it's like, I also think that our families are the places, too, where we know also we're going to be accepted and we're going to be loved. And so we're going to be a little bit more of our true self, right? And so I love this psalm because it really does. It's a huge part of the prayer of examine, and we're gonna talk about it and go point by point with it. But it just reminds me of David, and I thought about, like, why does David appeal to so many people? And I think this is really a part of it. For me, it's because he's aligned, and then he is really not aligned. I mean, he goes off, right? I mean, he makes the bad choice and another bad choice, and he goes so far over here, But then he realigns. His heart's desire is to be aligned with God. That's why his heart. That's why he's a man after day after God's own heart, is because he's constantly trying to realign. And I think everybody loves. We all love David, except for Lynn, because we see ourselves in this. Like that's us, right? That's humanity 101. We're going. We're like yes, and then like things happen. Change in schedule. You're used to doing your Bible reading every single day, praying at a particular time, doing a certain Bible study, and then we get off schedule, and we forget this, we forget that, and then before we know it, we're over here. So, but like David, it's okay, like this happens, but to be constantly in a space of being intentional about realigning ourselves, I think that's what's super important, and you can see how David intentionally pushes himself, oh, but hold on, you look at me, I'm going this direction, where am I at, Lord? How am I doing? Look inside of me. Is there anything in me that's not okay? And then being willing to make those course corrections when God does say to us, well, you're a little off here. So that's why I love Psalm 139. And it's a huge, huge part of the prayer of examine. So the prayer of examine, the first thing that you do, who all has done prayer of examine? Has anyone done anything? I mean, I know it's kind of a fancy word for personal inventory time. Has anybody ever done it? Oh, Gary, see, they're my husband, because I told him about this like about years ago. Yeah. No. So the first thing that we do is we place ourselves in God's presence, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us. So what you want to do, it's really a time for quiet. And I would say this type of prayer of examine you do it at the end of the day. So it's kind of like a review time. Many people over years, I think centuries actually, they've been doing prayer of examine. Some people actually will do it like midday. Like for me, it's like this is a thing that I will sometimes do like when I know I'm out of alignment, when I know that I'm getting irritated about things that are ridiculous. You know, I mean, like if you're at Burger King and it's taking really long to get your fries and you're getting super irritated, eat the fries and then do a prayer of examine. You know, just real quick, like, am I doing okay? Like, this is probably not something I should be like getting irritated about. So at the end of the day, this is the one for the end of the day. You basically just like you make sure that you get into a quiet space. Close the door. Make sure that you're all by yourself. No interruptions. And you just place yourself in God's presence, which sounds kind of weird. Like what? Place myself? I mean, God's always present. We know that in Psalm 139, right? Like in 139 verses 7 through 8, it says, "Where could I go get away? Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too." So we can't really escape his presence. But it's something different to actually stop and then just breathe and just know that you're in God's presence, right? And know that he's been with you since the beginning of the day and he's in every single detail. And then as you get ready to kind of like look back on your day, right? You need to ask the Holy Spirit to just reveal anything and shine a light on the places so that he can kind of clear your vision so that you're able to see what God wants you to see. Because otherwise, we can just be looking at, like, what do I want to see? Oh, I did everything great today. Okay, I'm done. So that's the first thing that we want to do. So place yourself in God's presence and pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. And just really settle in. Sometimes, like, I'll have other thoughts in my mind, like, oh, yeah, I gotta get, I have to get flour or I have to get rice or whatever. And it's just like, that's the enemy. So make sure that you just kind of like just push those thoughts out, because you can trust God that anything that you need to do later, he will remind you of. The second thing that we want to do in the prayer of examine is we're going to give thanks to God for his love, because God is. He loves us. In Psalm 9, he says, "I will thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. I will talk about all your wonderful acts. I will celebrate and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name most high." So we want to give thanks, as in Psalm 9, just for who God is. And realizing that every moment and every single day is a gift from God. Like right now, every single breath, if you just kind of close your eyes and your breath in and your breath out, these are gifts. Every heartbeat, even this small wind, the small feeling of air around you, everything is a gift. And just settling yourself into that, just giving thanks for everything, and just allowing gratitude to just draw you into the fullness of your life. There's just so many things to be thankful for. Number three is we review the day. So you think back over your day, right? And if we think about Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3, Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. So God's thoroughly familiar, but we need to just be purposeful and intentional about thinking back over the day, like who you were with, where you were, what did you do, whatever ordinary thing it was, just recalling like sights and sounds and the smells and the conversations and the thoughts and even feelings that you were experiencing. I think especially the feelings, you know, and like what gave you life. And then also like what are the things that discouraged you in the day? And just giving attention to those little moments. And then you take those moments and then you just kind of give them to God. Just present them to him. Number four, we're going to face your shortcomings. We face our shortcomings. You know, we're going to reflect honestly on our shortcomings. So if we think about, like, so Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. So just considering the day and reflecting honestly on the moments when you felt out of tune with God. So like that's when the alignment got just a little bit off. Was it something that you said? Was it a missed opportunity? Was it some way that you wish that you would have maybe acted differently? Like when someone was unkind to you and you just gave a quick little sarcastic response? Like just little things like that, just noticing them, you know, and just being honest about them instead of like, well, but it's because, well, you know, they were this way with me, so that's why I was that way with them. Not doing that, just taking that and saying, yeah, I wish I would have been kinder. And again, putting that in front of the Lord. And then number five, it's look toward tomorrow and you ask for God's help. And so that's like Psalm 121, verses 1, 2, and 8. It's, I raise my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming, from now until forever. Until forever from now. And so when you end your day, you look to tomorrow. So what are you looking forward to, right? What are some things that concern you? All of those little pieces, you ask for God's help. You think about them, and then you basically, you're kind of consecrating it, right? You're kind of just giving it to him and saying, Lord, these are my things that I'm looking forward to, but giving it to him so that way he is able to kind of already be over it. I mean, he's over everything anyway, but you're being intentional and purposeful and taking your attitude that it's whatever you want. These are my plans, but it's really not about my plans, Lord. It's about your plans. And then you just ask him to open your eyes and open your ears and your heart to see where he is working in the plans for tomorrow and in tomorrow. Also, it's like just asking him to be present in your tomorrow, in everything that you do. So kind of this is the attitude change of, it's not about whatever we want to do, right? It's about maintaining our alignment so that we're seeing the day through God's eyes. We're seeing the day through opportunities. Like times when we see something, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so inconvenient. Someone needs my help. Like I'm doing this. It's a God opportunity, right? My neighbor Jim used to always tell me stuff like that. He'd be like, he would give me, he's like, it's an opportunity. That's what he would like, opportunity, but it's a chance for opportunity. But he would also say things like God opportunity. It's not an inconvenience. People are not an inconvenience. People are opportunities that God is bestowing upon us. He's giving us a chance. Here you go. Here's this person. Like, what will you do with this? Do we look at the day and go, nope, I have to go to the recycling. Like, I I can't be stopped. Like, I'm not going to stop and help this person alongside the road. It's a God opportunity. And being able to do that and take care of people and be Jesus to everyone who we meet. Because every single interaction that we have, nothing is ever like in a vacuum. Every person who we meet is either going to be, we're either pushing them towards God or we're pulling them away from God. Now, some people are easier than others, I know. But it's still, you know, it's still like, you know, with Jesus inside of us, right, with the Holy Spirit functioning, we can do all things. We can do greater things than Jesus, you know. And I just think it's so important to be able to slow down. And if you maintain this alignment, your eyes, I think you just see better. You just go, oh, you don't look at it as an inconvenience. It's aha, like. Jesus, what are we doing today? It's that kind of an attitude of just being thankful for any opportunity that he brings our way, that he's partnering with us at all. I mean, if we're going to be honest, does he really actually need us? Does he need any one of us? Not really. God can do everything without us, but he chooses to partner with us. He chooses to say, all right, let's go. You and me, we're going to do this together. And sometimes it's quite challenging because, you know, I mean, in the words of the famous Sheila Walsh, right? I could be so holy if it wasn't for these people in my face. And then, of course, God always goes, hey, guess what? That's you to some people. And what? Yeah. So the vertical alignment is super important because that's what our job is here. It's not really, it's not to be, you know, the person who, you know, does the trash stuff. It's not the person who works for the government. It's not any of these things. It's to be mini Christs to every single person that we meet. And if we look at the mission of our church here, it's, you know, we're loving God, loving people to extend the kingdom. Every single one of those pieces is important. You cannot extend the kingdom if you don't love God and you don't love people. You know, you can't put the cart in front of the horse. It's going to be pretty impossible to love people if you don't love God. All of these pieces are all connected. And I think the more that we make sure that we first and foremost always maintain this, then the easier it is to love people because you're able to see people through the eyes of God. I don't know how many times it's like, you know, in the past I'd be like, oh my gosh, they're so difficult. But when I prayed and I said, Lord, let me see them through your eyes. I saw a whole different perspective, and I was just able to go, okay, that's what I need. I need God's eyes to be able to love people. And so the prayer of examine for me, it's helping me to make sure that my attitude is aligned with God, helping me to be able to see people the way that I see, that he sees people, and being able to take advantage of every opportunity that he gives me so that I'm able to be his hands and feet. Because if I'm not aligned, I'm just going to miss so many things. So that's the prayer of examine. Like I said, you can Google it, and you can find several different versions of it. Lots of people do things. Sometimes, like I said, I do it during the day because it's just like, oh, I just had a really, like, interior, like, reaction to someone, like, feeling very critical. I already know. Like, for me, it's almost within a second where I feel like, oh, I'm out of alignment. And the more that you do it, the more, I think, sensitive you become to the Holy Spirit's moving and to God's moving within you to, hey, where are we at? All right, let's get back to us. So it's his will that we're doing instead of our own will. One of the things that I was looking at, too, with, like, because I thought about aligned examples, like, who are people who are aligned? Obviously David, you know, but out of alignment, back in alignment, just like the rest of us. But I also thought about Job. Like, if we look at Job, right? Job, with all the things happening to him, the devastation, right? I mean, can you name anyone who was more, like, devastated in the Bible? I mean, I don't know of anyone like that in, you know, in our current life, like Job. But, you know, what did Job say? Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a vertically aligned person. I mean, it's devastation, but he's aligned with God. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't veer off to the sides. He's fully aligned. We look at Paul, right? Paul, oh my gosh. I can be imprisoned. I can be free. I can be hungry, or I can have plenty to eat. You know, I have learned to be content in every situation. And of course, we can look at Jesus, right? Jesus, who is vertically aligned, goes away. He's ministering, and then he goes away, and he spends time with God to make sure that he is fully aligned. And he's perfect. He doesn't have any sin, but he still takes time to be vertically aligned. He's intentional about it because he's showing us all an example of how we can maintain vertical alignment, how we can do greater things than he does. It's through vertical alignment. Most of the time, I don't name Jesus in a lot of things just because I think, like, I'm a sinful person, so, like, that for me is like a bar that I will never reach, right? I mean, I'm going to constantly be striving towards it. So that's hence why I look at, like, David, I'll look at Job or Paul for the vertical alignment, because they look more like me. They look more like all of us, right? Because they're going to make mistakes, but then they course correct. And I guess that would be my, just my encouragement to all of you. It's okay to get off course a little bit. It's also okay to get off course a lot. Some of us, like, we get way, way over here. But God is so full of grace and mercy. And he's a gentleman, so he will not force. He will not force, but he's also a hound. He is the hound of heaven. You know, that's what we sing, like, you know, no mountain, you know, that he will not climb up. He's going to come after you. So no matter how far away you are, he is continuously coming after us. Come on, come on, come on, until we regain vertical alignment, you know. And that's what I love about our God. He's so faithful. He's so merciful. He's so graceful towards all of us. You know, he's a hound, but he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you. He's not going to force you to be in alignment with him. But for me, it's just amazing. When you're in vertical alignment, that's what I'm saying, like, it's the Holy Spirit zone, right? Because you can feel God just working inside of you. And you're noticing and you're seeing people the way that he wants you to see them. You're taking advantage of every single opportunity that he gives you, or as many as possible, you know, that so that you're furthering that kingdom. You know, you're loving God and you're loving people. And you're extending the kingdom. And you really can only do, like, your best job ever if you're constantly aligned with God. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. You are amazing. I thank you, Lord, that you will never stop coming after us. You yearn for us. You long for us to be in alignment with you, so we can partner with you in every single opportunity that you give us. Lord, help us to be able to see the times when we just need to spend more time intentionally with you, just spending time with you. And help us to be able to see every single opportunity, Lord, that you have for us. We just thank you, Lord. You're amazing. You alone are praiseworthy. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, all the glories. It's all you, Lord. We just thank you and just praise you, magnify your name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lift everything up to you today. And we just, whatever your will is, Lord, we just want to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.